yo, can you take me back to jail and shit?
A TikToker plays characters.
The Declaration of Independence.
You guys are fucking pathetic.
Ali is a rising star on TikTok with almost 1 million followers.
Yo, like literally, you're mad.
He sits close with a woman.
I want you to say, y'all know the fucking vibes.
Yeah.
Anna's one of the most beautiful people on the planet. The woman could be like Miss America.
She poses in different outfits.
Ali and Anna, they fell in love the second they laid eyes upon each other.
It all seems so perfect.
On TikTok, all it takes is one video. You could wake up the next morning and your whole life could be changed.
I remember coming across a video that had probably 2.4 million views. I was like, oh my God, this is Anna. It's hard to sometimes separate that online persona to who you truly are in the real world.
Me, I want what's coming. The world. And everything in it.
And that's when things start to kind of hit the fan.
I'm a fucking god. I'm a fucking internet celebrity.
Give me my phone back.
Close the door.
I'm hurting my fucking finger.
Ali actually starts recording with his phone. Some of the things that we would never expect him to record.
Text. Never before seen footage.
You think that, and then you wake up and you're mad again. So stop.
Private recordings with disturbing content.
You're my woman, bitch. I brought you to this goddamn country. You should be kissing my feet.
The internet can be such an evil place.
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers. I said, that's the bad guy.
All I could think about was, this is not gonna end well.
A hand covers shaky cell phone footage. It goes dark. Actual audio.
A double homicide inside an East Village high rise.
Anna! Anna!
Credits display over images of a glowing cell phone, Peacock Original. Jinkid's account gets 1.3 million followers. Images flash of a woman putting on makeup, a man snorting drugs, and clips of Jinkid's TikTok account. Executive producers Zach Weisfield, Libby Richman, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, Elizabeth Fisher, and George Plamondon. Title, TikTok Star Murders. In interview, a woman scrolls through TikTok videos.
It's not surprising that TikTok is successful. It's really entertaining. It's addictive and it's really quick, so it's like really satisfying to just like get these little bite-sized bits of content that are just so easy to consume and easy to share. It can track like what grabs your attention in the first second and what keeps you watching.
Hello, man, I'm nice.
A man scares his dog. Another man gapes with his cat.
Once you watch something a couple times, it'll just feed you more and more of that. The algorithm is just really good at keeping you on the app, keeping you scrolling. And by 2022, it was the most downloaded app in the world.
The app logo grows on the screen. The woman works on a laptop near a window.
My name's Andrea Marks. I'm a journalist, and I often report on the intersection of social media and crime. What drew me to this story was that I like writing about crimes, which portray this very interesting section of humanity and human behavior. And it makes you wonder what would drive a person to do something like that. So that was initially why I covered it for Rolling Stone.
On a grid, the Jinkid video showcases Ali's imitations.
TikTok's perfect for Ali, and Ali's perfect for TikTok.
No, fuck no.
Ali likes to make this kind of short form content. He's doing these impressions.
The sun is shining on my face. I'm blessed.
John Wick.
It wasn't just a dog. It was my wife.
Nicolas Cage.
Well, there's a map. On the back. You can't see it, but I can see it.
And his most famous one, Tony Montana from Scarface.
I got you, man! I got you! No fucking kids!
You know, TikTok is the perfect platform for that because it's grabby, it's quick, and he can put out a lot of it.
Say hello to my little friend!
But not everything on social media and not everything on TikTok is what it seems.
In a split-level home, a woman with long, dark hair enters a modern living room. Kayla, Anna's friend, sits on the sofa. A producer says, just breathe.
I know, it's a lot.
You're totally fine.
She strokes her hair and sits for an interview.
Boy, you guys have caused a lot of buzz within the friend group.
She pulls up her foot to sit cross-legged.
It connected a lot of us that were kind of mourning on our own.
Another friend, Julia, sits in a room.
You know, I asked you at the beginning, why did you agree to talk to us?
I just want Hannah's side of the story to be heard. I personally witnessed everything that she was in.
A still image wearing formal wear at an event. At night, a man drives a car down a city road.
My name is Louis. I'm Ali Abulaban's cousin, and me and Ali have been close since I was very young. I feel that this whole situation has, you know, turned my life upside down as well as turned my family's life upside down. It's going to take a very long time to recover from this for all of us.
Sunlight shines over a town. Tex, Ali. In a photo, he and Louis sit with family.
Ali comes from a Middle Eastern family that happens to be Muslim, a more religious household, so it was a stricter environment. Ali was a free spirit and didn't really follow religion. He did what he wanted to do. I remember watching him do all these different dances and singing and all different types of stuff.
On TikTok, he mimics Michael Jackson's dancing.
It's what he was meant to do. I really believe Ali was meant to be a star.
He moonwalks, then continues dancing and smiling. Tex, 2013. A photo shows Ali with a minigun.
Ali joined the Air Force when he was in his late teens, like 18, 19. I think joining the military was a sense of Ali wanting to, like, improve himself, you know, physically, mentally. I think he wanted to serve his country.
Julia.
Ali was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. A lot of people in the military actually get stationed in Okinawa for 2 to 3 years.
Tex, Okinawa, Japan.
Okinawa is a huge American military base.
Kayla.
It's hot, it's tropical, it's beautiful, it's fun. When you're on this island together, you create these friendships that just never go away.
People lounge under parasols on a beach. Tex, Anna. Early webcam photos show her as a teenager.
Anna and I grew up together in Okinawa. She's from the Philippines, and her dad was stationed in Okinawa. We were best friends, and we had a very tight-knit friend group. And Anna was one of the more, like, caring, loving, happy individual. That's what drew me to her. I don't think my life would personally be the same if she was never my friend. And so I'm very thankful for the friendship that her and I had shared together.
Tex, 2014. In a photo, Ali and Anna sit together.
Ali and Anna met in 2014. She was attracted to his big personality, and he was a singer in a band, and she found that very attractive as well.
I think she saw someone that was successful, that had a good head on his shoulders. He had a good ranking in the military, and they had a lot of laughter and love.
At first, I did feel that she was very happy and they were happy together. But then Ali got in trouble with the military. He had gotten drunk and gotten into a fight with one of Anna's friends and allegedly assaulted them. Ali does have a very strong personality. He definitely is jealous every time anyone would comment on Anna's looks or how lucky of a guy he was to have somebody like Anna. He would be very bothered. I let her know my concerns. I told her I feel like he's a little bit controlling. And she explained to me that he is, but I love him. You have nothing to worry about. But I just remember feeling uneasy around him.
When Ali got in a fight, what he had done was so extreme. It got him discharged.
Words are highlighted on a form. U.S. Air Force. Ali Abulaban. Discharge.
Once you've disrespected the island and the rules, they will kick you off the island.
Tex. Bristow, Virginia. 2015.
Ali moves back to Virginia. and his parents were not happy. They really wanted their son to be successful in the Air Force. They wanted their son to be successful in everything that he would do.
In a photo, Anna poses at sunset by the coast.
At the same time, Anna's family was leaving Okinawa, and they were moving back to the Philippines.
Tex, Angeles City, Philippines. Rachel, Anna's friend.
I'm Rachel, and Anna is not only just a best friend, but family. Where we came from, we only had each other. When Anna moved back to the Philippines, we lived about 20 minutes away from each other.
Julia.
Anna was living at home with her family, and at that point, she found out that she was pregnant with Ollie's child. She was excited and nervous, but more excited than anything. So in this time, Ollie wanted to apply for a visa for Anna.
While doing that, Anna waited in the Philippines. And 8 months later, their baby girl, Amira, was born.
In a photo, she holds the infant and smiles.
It takes time before you get marriage visa in the Philippines. So by the time Amira was 9 months, he finally was able to bring Anna to Virginia.
In cell phone footage, Ali holds and kisses the baby.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Oh, she's so cute.
Tex, Bristow, January 2017. Trees surround large suburban houses.
Ali and Anna decided to go to Northern Virginia because Ali's entire family is there.
Horses graze in a pen.
Anna liked Virginia. She loved Ali's family. They didn't have a wedding. They just went to the courthouse.
Ali and Anna get their own home, and they started their family. Anna was a beautiful woman, and she was also creative, just like Ali. And I just saw, like, a match made in heaven.
The two smile on their porch. Tex, 2019. In their town home, Ali films himself.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's good, Jim?
In Virginia, Ali starts to produce content on a lot of platforms like YouTube and Instagram, and he goes by the online handle JinKid.
Tex, at JinKid.
Hey, Jin, where the fuck you been?
I've been working, man. These bills aren't gonna pay themselves.
Ali created this persona of JinKid. JinKid was an escape from Ali Abulaban, being an actual human. He wanted to be this different entity that was super famous.
Oh, shit.
God.
The lights go out.
I just paid the light bill.
Hey, Jin. Maybe it's a power outage, you know? Why don't you check outside the windows?
He peeks outside and sees Michael Myers from Halloween.
The word Jin pretty much means a ghost or like a soul or like an entity we cannot see. And he felt that it was like a unique word to attach to Kid, and it stuck with him. And he pretty much wanted everybody to call him Jin Kid, including his own family. Later on, Ali started making TikTok videos.
He plays different characters.
Need something? No, fuck no.
Ali loved making TikTok videos because that was pretty much like the new YouTube. It was like his new platform to start a new fan base.
Success on TikTok is a numbers game, and Ali becomes obsessed with it.
Listen to me, okay? I'm gonna make that film one day, one way or another.
It's his path to fame, and ultimately that path reveals the dark underbelly of social media.
Well, I've got news for you assholes. You're all bad people.
On TikTok, Ali films himself and Anna, asking my wife to do impressions.
All right.
Okay, so I'll do it first, all right?
All right.
Yo, like, literally, your mouth fucking beautiful, you feel me?
I want you to say,
y'all know the fucking vibes.
Yeah.
Julia.
When they first moved to Virginia, she was happy, she was in love.
Wait, let's try the Scarface one.
Okay. There's I fucking love you, man. I want you to be the love of my life.
Okay, how do I do the face?
I want you, like this, like you smell something nasty.
Kelsey Christensen, reporter.
Ali in the videos can be charming. As Anna's filming him, you can actually hear her giggle.
I'm trying to save the world. What are you doing?
Ali describes it as they're living the American dream. So you're looking at these videos prior to this case, thinking, what happened?
Barbed wire coils around the top of a fence. In an interview, a man sits in the shadows.
I'm Lucifer. Lucifer is my online name because not everybody is comfortable using the real names.
Why do you want to protect your identity today?
I just want to keep my online social media platform private from my personal life. It's good to remain anonymous because we don't want people trying to track.
Lucifer, Ali's TikTok moderator.
The very first day I met Ali, it was 2019.
Looking to protect yourself or deal some damage.
He was doing Skyrim videos.
Clips play from the video game.
Skyrim is a medieval role-playing game.
Stuck here. Stuck!
Ali wears a jester's hat.
What? What are you doing in the Night Mother's coffin?
Ali was playing characters you interact with in-game.
You? The listener?
I see there's potential in Ali. There's lots of talent in there. So I just decided to message him and tell him, like, hey, let me help you out. I can help you grow. So I became his social media manager. I would help him out with things like Discord, Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and all kinds of other platforms.
Andrea Marks.
Ali wants to grow his brand, so he gets help. Content creators often have a person or a team of people who help manage their content and decide when and where to post it.
We would, you know, talk to each other on a daily basis, and we actually became pretty close friends.
Ali films Anna.
Well, hello, traveler. Welcome to the King's Keeper. Would you like a room?
Anna played a role in some of these videos that Ali posted on TikTok. Sometimes Anna's in the videos, sometimes she's filming the videos.
Oh, Jason, they came in and took everything. They even killed your...
He stares blankly. Tex, please reconnect controller.
And fans like to see them. They like to see Anna in the video as well.
A comment reads, can't get over how pretty your girlfriend is.
Anna was in pretty much any Skyrim video where there was a hand. Like the hand that follows Ali in the videos, Anna was the hand.
They battle like video game characters.
I yield.
A lot of times I would call her. She would tell me that she had to go because she had to film a short skit for Ali so they could post it online.
On TikTok, as a creator, your only goal is to get what you want to make in front of as many people as possible. The more people see what you do, the more people follow you. It's like the views compound on each other.
Tex, going viral.
Everyone has a chance at virality. All it takes is one video.
In the video, Anna steals three Elder Scrolls books.
Hey, stop!
So that's what happens for Ali. He's making TikToks about the video game Skyrim, and one of them takes off.
It reaches over 2 million views. Tex, 2020. Julia.
I was online one day and I saw this video that was reposted by some of my friends.
Ali drinks in a stiff, robotic way.
You try mercenary work, might suit you.
And I realized that it was Ali on the video.
Hey, watch.
He gets stuck in furniture.
People really love it. He even got shout outs from Jenna Marbles and some other folks who are high up in the social media world.
Jenna Marbles is a longtime YouTuber and an established talent on social media.
Need something?
That's the part that kills me.
So for Ali to be getting attention from her is huge.
It makes me laugh so hard. This guy has a whole YouTube channel.
Is that the name of it? Jin Kid?
Jin Kid, yeah.
He gets a million followers.
Ali just kept posting more and more and more. Each video gains more views, more followers from that, more likes. He made little skits outside of Skyrim, and he gained a lot of popularity from that too.
Yo, am I bad too?
The worst!
You're right.
It's Saint. Shut the fuck up, okay? You come in my house, you tell us what we do, what to think, what to feel.
Ali's favorite movie was definitely Scarface.
Clips play from the 80s film.
He was obsessed with Tony Montana. He really loved impersonating that character. He liked how dramatic Tony Montana is in the way that he portrays himself.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
A woman sits in interview.
I'm Dr. Joni Johnston, a clinical and forensic psychologist and private investigator. It seems like Ali especially likes these kind of violent characters.
Yeah, I got the money. I'm going to cash up it to you, man.
Cash up it.
He wrestles a box from a jeweler.
It's like they're so exaggerated, and he's throwing these kind of temper tantrums over these very minor things.
Oh,
That's my brother.
How's it going, bro? Nice to meet you.
If you put one finger on her, I'm gonna come to your house. I know your whole family. I know your neighbors. I know your neighbors' neighbors.
And, you know, it's funny, it's humorous. I'm sure people look at that and kind of go, how ridiculous, at the time. Of course, now, looking back, it has a different meaning because we know the outcome of the story.
Do you see that woman over there?
Ali wears a suit. Anna waves in a dress.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, isn't she?
Kayla.
It was kind of fast. I remember coming across a video that had probably 2.4 million views. And I was like, oh my God, this is Anna.
Andrea.
So Ali is on this crazy ascent on social media and his life has changed.
Rachel.
And that was the time where Anna slowly started to disappear from people's lives.
In the video, they slow dance. Ali dips her. In a dark room, a woman in a headscarf types on a laptop.
My name is Rain, and I am an online friend to Ali. The first time that I saw Ali was back in 2019. There was something about his eyes. I could tell that he had some type of story to tell. It was like a connection. We have a group chat together, and we talk nearly every day.
They text. Would you be up for helping me? Already thinking about ideas.
We would talk about his streams and his videos. And I helped him get verified on Instagram.
A blue check mark appears beside his name.
Getting verified on Instagram means simply you are who you say you are. It tends to be a sign of notoriety because it implies that someone would be impersonating.
He celebrates.
Oh, congratulations.
When Ali got verified on Instagram, that was literally one of the best days for him ever.
For social media influencers, there are these objective measures of how popular you are. You know, you get recognition, you get certain markers, you get blue checks, and that can be very, very seductive.
What do you think I am?
Kayla.
Once you're on this platform and you're seeing your followers grow and you're seeing there's more comments, that's all triggering a positive, like, ding, oh, another follower, another follower, another follower. It sparks this obsession at times where you don't want to lose that, so you have to keep going or you'll lose followers.
Lucifer.
He went from 700,000 followers to around 2 million followers, which is pretty amazing.
That's a huge increase in people looking at his content. That can include companies who might hire him for brand partnerships.
A dollar sign fills the screen. Tony Montana shaves.
Hey, Jen, where'd you get this?
I want to get me one.
Yeah, but that's my new Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0, all right?
I'm just talking lawnmower.
Brands want more exposure on these social platforms. When a creator is getting a lot of attention, a company might see that as an opportunity to get their product in front of more users on that platform.
I see you have stolen my Lawnmower 3.0.
You actually can make money from social media. Lots of influencers are millionaires. That's why a lot of people are going towards content creation in this generation.
But when you get that little taste of fame, it alters your viewpoint of reality.
Scarface.
Me, I want what's coming to me.
Oh, well, what's coming to you, Tony?
The world, Chico.
And everything in it.
In Anna's TikTok video, she sits and does a dance as Ali puts in eye drops behind her. He turns and dances too. Julia.
Through Ali, Anna got a lot of her followers as well.
Her followers exceed 10,000.
She liked to post.
In a video, she looks at a photo of herself.
Oh my God, I wish I looked like that.
That's a picture of yourself from like 2 days ago.
Yeah, back when I was pretty.
But it wasn't something she was doing for followers or for the money. That mattered more to Ali than Anna.
Rachel.
Anna growing up was very insecure about herself. She was a nerdy girl, skinny, who played video games.
In a group photo, she forces a smile.
She definitely did change. She went from like Philippines to America.
In a TikTok video, she transitions into makeup.
She started dressing differently. She started going to the gym and working out.
She films herself doing squats and leg lifts. She poses in a coastal sunset. Kayla.
She just loved looking nice and her family looking the same. She was an amazing mother. She adored her daughter more than anything in the world. She loved dressing her up in cute little outfits that kind of matched hers, and they would go around and take pictures everywhere.
Text, March 2020. Anna dances.
We would make little cute TikToks together.
Julia swipes the camera with a makeup brush and appears fully done up.
I was living in San Diego and Anna was in Virginia. It was COVID during the time and we were bored out of our minds. So we were either making TikToks or we were playing video games online. Anna did say that she was feeling alone in Virginia. She was just raising Amira and her life revolved around Ollie and his family. She told me she felt like she had nobody else there that was there for her.
Rachel.
I don't think he really allowed her to have friends. I remember spending time together over the phone. He started to get kind of jealous.
Dr. Johnston.
They really did live in Ollie's world. They're in the United States. Her family is overseas. He really is in control of who she hangs around, what they do.
On the street, she poses in a backless top.
What people didn't know was she was actually screaming for help.
In the photo, she stares at the camera with a faint smile. Julia.
I would call Anna from time to time, and I kept saying, you should really come visit me. And eventually she said, I spoke with Ali. He's going to let me come visit you in San Diego.
Text, San Diego. Anna's TikTok shows her driving at the beach and at clubs.
Anna went to visit San Diego, where a lot of her friends were. And she just loved it. The lifestyle with the clubs and the high life.
And at the end of her trip, she told me, I'd really love to move here and be closer to you and to her other friends from Okinawa.
She and her pals pose on the beach.
So she goes back to Virginia and she is trying to convince Ollie to move to San Diego. She said, I've been in Virginia for you. We've been doing your TikToks here, raising our daughter. I want to do San Diego for me. For Ollie, it was a win-win. Moving to San Diego would help his career, working with influencers based in LA, and also would make his wife happy.
Lucifer.
It was 100% exciting because, you know, his dream of becoming an actor is even closer than he was ever before.
Text, February 2021. A glass high-rise towers over the city.
Ultimately, they moved in downtown San Diego at the Spire.
Kelsey Christensen.
They're up on the 35th floor.
Windows surround their corner apartment.
It overlooks downtown, the beach and the sunset. San Diego. It has a good nightlife, the gas lamp. It's a fun place, especially if you're young.
Rachel.
It all seems so perfect.
At night, the city bustles with people. Text, hashtag drama free. At a gallery, Anna takes her kid to watch projected art installations. Andrea.
The thing about social media is, of course, you're trying to display the elements of your life that you want people to see. Here's my best dance move. Here's my wonderful vacation. Here's a beautiful picture of me and my partner. Because we're all putting our best foot forward on social media, anything that you're looking at as a consumer of social media is simply not telling the whole truth.
They look at glowing Christmas trees.
Many social media influencers feel a need to let their followers into their personal life. And I think that's a catch-22 in some respects. It creates, I think, this image that they now feel the need to uphold.
Anna and Ollie dance in a kitchen.
There's this TikTok of Ollie and Anna dancing, and there's like a cutesy moment where she pulls back the shower curtain and he's in the shower. And they're just having so much fun as a couple.
And the hashtag was, when your relationship is drama-free.
The same text appears over them as they dance.
I don't know if they just posted that video as a TikTok just for the views. In the back of my mind, I know they had their problems too, but every relationship does.
They're perfect. That's what you see. I think those are the moments that she really held on to, so she would post that content and show this side of them that she wanted the world to see. She wanted it to be good, but not everything online is real.
The couple smiles on camera. Tex, Los Angeles, Ali films himself in front of photos of comedians.
Hey, my face is going to be on here.
Alrighty then.
Right after they move to San Diego, Ali goes to LA and does this comedy show.
Hello, everybody. It's my first time on stage.
You can see that he's really trying to make things happen for his career. He's chasing these dreams that he's always wanted to achieve.
Go on, Barrett. Okay. Say hello to my new friend.
Kayla.
Ali felt that this was his moment to shine and get fame. He wanted to be a movie star.
Your first autograph.
My first autograph. Okay, here we go. This is the first autograph by Jenkins. So it's going to be worth $1 million.
Soon, yes. Look at that.
Rain.
Ali is becoming very successful. It got to the point that we all started counting his views for him.
Lucifer.
He told us how happy he was, and we were happy for him.
Jenkins becomes...
Louis.
Almost like a part of him in the sense that he really saw that this brand that he had could reach great success.
Yo, y'all gotta see his six.
Ali chats with Jay Farrell.
Yo, go ahead, bro. I'm set you up.
Y'all dirty motherfuckers can't fucking touch me, you feel me? All of y'all? Yo,
what other impressions do you do, bro?
I do Scarface.
I thought you, man. No fucking kid. What you think I am, huh? What you think I am? Well, I'm like you? I thought you, man. No, I thought you. No fucking kid.
That's a spot to fuck on. A spot to fuck on, bro.
It seemed like he was really fulfilled by the chance for fame.
Well, you know I'm following you, so I want everybody. What's your tag? I want everybody to follow you.
Jim Kid.
And the way social media sort of levels the playing field, anyone can have a little bit of fame. He embodies the identity of I am TikTok famous. That's who I am, and like that's my life now. I'm a TikTok celebrity.
Bro, give me the 6ix9ine.
6ix9ine?
Yo, word to my mother, I smacked the face out of all y'all. You feel me? What, y'all the internet gangsters?
Being famous is a fantasy that a lot of people have. You need that recognition. You need that fame. And I think for certain people, and I would include Ali in this, it becomes almost like an addiction.
Follow this dude, man. It's crazy.
Ali is somebody who took this fame and really let it go to his head.
Who put this thing together? Me. Who I trust? Me. That's who.
Julia.
When they first moved to San Diego, it was good for a couple months.
Ali and Anna smile in a photo.
And then things were starting to go really downhill. They would hang out with only who he wanted to hang out with. If he didn't want Anna to come out with a girls' night, she wasn't going. He kind of just controlled how she spent her time in San Diego. I started to think that they actually have problems or there's something going on.
In a soundproofed room, Ali streams live.
You're now tuning live.
Ali does tend to rub some people the wrong way. He loves to talk about himself a lot.
I don't even want to be like fucking, what do you call it? Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm not trying to be the next Al Pacino. I probably could.
Ali felt that he was better than other people.
Louis.
And I think social media has a lot to do with that.
Comments praise him. Dr. Johnston.
Ali, as he becomes successful, he began to almost talk about himself like he was this larger-than-life person, like he was this person who was so important, so famous.
College is bullshit. I'm a college dropout, bitch.
Yes,
and I make more money than fucking half the people I see.
Ali would walk into a room sometimes and be like, don't you know who I am? I'm Jen Kidd. I could do whatever I want.
Kayla.
So that persona didn't leave once he stopped filming.
Ali becomes increasingly invested in his brand, and it seems like almost the boundaries between his brand and his image and who he is as a person becomes very confusing and blurred for him.
I'm a fucking god.
Actual audio.
I'm a sexy motherfucker. I'm a fucking internet celebrity.
If you're not able to separate that online persona to who you truly are in the real world, it could take a huge toll on you mentally and affect real relationships in your real life.
At night, traffic flows through the city. Kelsey Christensen.
Ali and Anna, they're partying a lot, both of them. And that's when things start to kind of hit the fan.
People dance in a dark nightclub. Rachel.
I had found out that he was abusing cocaine. When I say this man was on a coke binge, I'm saying abnormal amounts of cocaine.
Ali really became crazy with this whole thing. He'd have a bag of it, like a big bag of cocaine, in his pocket, and he would just pull it out in the middle of a restaurant, in the middle of a movie theater, pretty much anywhere we would go. He would even do it on his live streams, right in front of his audience.
He snorts coke on screen.
Call your man, that shit good.
I can hear my friend in the background going, babe, like, what are you doing?
At first, Anna was okay with it because when they've moved to San Diego, Anna's goal was to make everything comfortable for him. She was just allowing him to do what he wanted.
And then he's like, oh, this?
Why, this? There's nothing. This asthma medicine. How'd you like that?
That's not fake. That's him snorting cocaine on live feed. And you could see how many viewers are watching that with laugh reactions.
As the marriage begins to deteriorate, we really do begin seeing that this control that he has tried to exhibit, not just with Anna, but with himself, is really starting to loosen, and he's starting to unravel.
I have never heard of Anna using cocaine or doing it with her friends, but I had always heard him doing it, and I think he was jealous that she had this life with friends.
I can't go out. I'm sick.
On TikTok, Anna films herself with her girlfriends.
Ali started to see that Anna was becoming happy and blooming, and he was not about to have that because for years he had his wife on the sidelines, and that's how he wanted her.
And this is kind of when the script flips.
She films herself in a low-cut dress. A comment reads, "Hot and sexy."
Anna is the one in her element. She has all her people there, but Ali isn't liked as much as Anna by these friends.
Behind the scenes, you see Ollie's not included, or he's not a part of the photo that's getting all the likes and the attention.
Ali was kind of programmed to think a certain way. I believe that when you come from a strict kind of culture, there's certain expectations of you that come from your family.
Ali has a very rigid idea of how their relationship should be. I don't think in any respect he thinks it's an equal relationship. It's about him.
All I have in this world are my boss and my word. And I don't break up for no one. Together?
Text, spring 2021. Julia.
One day, Anna and I went to the gym. After that, we went back to Anna's apartment to grab Amira because we're going to go do something else. Ali was very, very angry with Anna and pulled Anna into the bedroom. And the next thing I know, he's throwing things at her. Anna runs out of the room. We grab Amira and we just storm off out of the apartment. Ali was nonstop texting her, like, come back, bring my daughter back. I'm going to take all the money out of the account. I asked her, you know, does he treat you like this all the time? Has this happened before? And she's like, no, babe, don't worry about it. I'm fine, it's okay. We're just going to talk later. He's just mad. That was our first glimpse of how crazy Ali could get.
At night, the apartment building glows. In a reenactment, Ali types on his computer.
He didn't want her having a life outside of him. He wanted her to hold the camera for him so he can make his skits.
He wants Anna to basically have Ali be the center of her world. And when that's not the case, he loses.
Actual audio.
Anna, I'm really starting to get hurt, man. You didn't even tell me that you're canceling on me, and now you can't answer my phone. You said something came up. And now my mind is just telling me they're not important enough for you to answer the phone.
Ali actually starts recording with his phone. Some of the things that we would never expect him to record.
He films himself.
Where were you?
I went to clear my head.
Clear your head, or you went to go sleep with another man? But you don't understand how hard it is to get her to listen. It just sucks that she paints me the bad guy.
He had lost trust in her, and he felt from that moment on that his wife was cheating on him, and he became extremely paranoid about that.
I can't believe that I have to deal with this as a man. I'm a healthy man. I listen to you. I try to work with you.
Huh? The door's right there.
The door's right there.
Ali degrades her. Watching these videos, I wonder why someone would record that
When's the last time we had sex? Tell me.
There's a billion other women out there for you that will fuck you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, a billion other men for you too. Is that your hope?
He would berate her for not having sex with him, almost demand it from her.
When's the last time we had sex, Anna, honestly?
I don't care.
It's been a month.
I don't care.
He was territorial, seeing her as more of a property. And I need to keep this at all costs, and it's solely mine.
Why the fuck do I need to be in this relationship? What do you give me, Anna? Nothing. When's the last time you fucking pleased me?
It's a no.
There's no way that you're not fucking somebody right now. There's no way. No woman as beautiful as you is gonna go a fucking month without sex.
Kayla.
I think it made Ollie extremely jealous, the attention that Anna would get, because everyone was always drawn to her. Everyone always loved her. It created these explosive fights between the two of them.
Ollie films Anna.
There's my wife, 7 years, from Okinawa all the way to San Diego. She fucking wants to leave me after 7 years. She couldn't even wait for the visa to finish.
That just means I don't need your visa. That's not what I came here for. I came here for you.
Louis.
I brought her to America. I gave her the American dream. Therefore, she is my property. That is how he felt.
Angeles City, Philippines. Rachel.
Growing up in a Filipino culture, women are raised to be quiet and do what we're told. We all have one dream and one goal, and it's to get out and to come to America to have a better life. Certain men will think that we are an item. We should be grateful because they gave us that life. When you get married, you don't get divorced. Literally, in our country, it's illegal to get divorced. So she needed to stick this one out.
Thank you for baiting me to move you to San Diego. I drove across the whole country for you.
Ollie felt that Anna was taking everything away from him, so he threatened to get her deported.
This was your plan all along, Anna. You used me.
If Anna was deported out of America, she wouldn't be able to see her daughter.
Julia.
Anna just wanted to keep the peace, especially for her daughter. She just loved her so much, and she would literally do anything for her, like endure everything that Ollie was putting her through just for her daughter to be happy and to have a dad.
You fucking call the cops on me behind my back? How evil is that? Anna, how evil is that?
I don't know who you're trying to show.
Dr. Johnston.
When you listen to these recordings, it's hard to imagine that anybody would want to keep a record because they are so filled with venom.
How evil is that?
Are you showing the police?
No, I just can't believe it, because I'm going to watch this later.
Andrea Marks.
Is he trying to build some sort of case against her? He's trying to frame up a narrative of himself as the victim or the kind of suffering protagonist in their marriage. But it doesn't read like that at all.
Look at me in the face and tell me you don't love me.
I don't love you.
Look at me.
I don't love you. I don't love you. Sorry.
Anna actually calls Ali's mom for help.
What's up?
What's
your mom?
Why do I need my mom?
I think that illustrates the bind sometimes that domestic violence victims feel. They want the abuse to stop. They want to be safe. And yet they also don't want to get this person in trouble. They're thinking about them being in jail. They're thinking about what this is going to mean for their daughter. They're thinking about what is this going to do to Ali's career.
I just need him to leave because he's...
Why do you always pull back to him?
Yeah, what do you want me to do? Put him in jail? I'm not trying to put him in jail. I'm trying to remove him from my house.
Whatever it takes. If you feel like your life is in danger, put him in jail.
She's not in danger. What the fuck are you guys talking about me like I'm some monster?
Shut the fuck up. Mirrors are in the
way.
Anna is trying to protect her daughter because she did witness those arguments. She did see her dad angry at times. She would hear the screaming, the fighting, the violence.
She's not even giving me a chance to fucking, to get my fucking marriage back.
How does he have a chance when he does cocaine every night still? He lies and says he's gonna stop doing it.
You need to walk away. Please, come here.
I don't wanna lose my wife. If another man touches her, I'm fucking gonna go crazy.
Text, July 2021.
this point, what we're seeing is this increase in conflict between them, which pretty quickly escalates. By July of 2021, it's becoming very, very serious. Ali will do just about anything to maintain the control of that relationship, whether it's threatening Anna, whether it's threatening suicide.
Ali films a pile of clothes on a bed. He films Anna in the living room.
Just keep calling the cops.
Yeah, because he just tried to commit suicide. So that's what it is. He had a gun in his face with my daughter sleeping on the couch.
I have to do that just to get her to come home.
Kayla.
I'm just disgusted. When I heard that he had his gun out around his daughter, it's shocking. I think what she was hoping for was a change. But I think Anna knew that it wasn't safe for her at home.
As they talk on cell phone footage, the camera faces the floor.
When was the last time you fucking saw me smile? Or fucking laugh?
So how do I change that?
Fucking don't make me happy. You just make everything worse.
I'm sorry, Anna.
Complain about everything. Nothing ever makes you happy. This is why we're losing everything, because you complain. About everything good that happens to us, you complain. Everything is negative.
I'm sorry, Anna. I'm sorry, babe. I don't know how I got that way. I'm sorry. I wish I could just hold you.
I wish I could just hold you.
San Diego police respond to a domestic violence call from Anna. The camera faces the ceiling. Cameron Jackson, police officer.
When the police arrive at the apartment, instead of answering the door right away for the police, Ali goes in and he brushes his teeth because he's been drinking alcohol.
Shaky footage shows a towel.
And after he gets finished brushing his teeth, he comes back out and he answers the door.
Ali, hey man, how are you doing, man? Officer, good sir. Could you just come out here and talk to my partner real quick?
For the San Diego Police Department, 85% of the police reports that are written are for domestic violence. Cops come inside and they separate the two of them to find out what's going on. One cop will go in with one half, another cop will go in with the other half, and they'll determine, do we have a crime? Now, Ali is recording this conversation, which is highly unusual. Most people don't record their conversations with the cops.
So our concern was if there's any violence.
Sure.
Was there any violence tonight?
No.
Dr. Johnston.
They will conduct some kind of a risk assessment. It may be arresting one of those people. It just depends upon the circumstances.
I bring her to this country on a visa. She's Filipino, man. I did everything for her. We lived in Virginia. I worked for the government. Our life was set. Then her friend here. She's got friends here that she grew up with. Their lifestyle is a mess.
Ali is really good at telling a story that's believable to the cops. He's good at presenting himself as not being the type of guy who would be violent.
I believe she called because she was trying to get me to leave tonight.
So somebody has to be the bigger person. What you don't want to happen is if she alleges that you hit her, we have to arrest you, and now you have a arrest.
Isn't that fucked up? It's a woman's world, man.
There's no injuries or anything like that. Because had there been any visible injury on Anna when the police officers were there, it would have been game over for Ali.
I gave him everything for her. I brought her to this country. And now some other fucking asshole is going to be touching my woman? I don't think so.
Yeah, so only you know what's best for you and your daughter.
She said she feels safe with you here.
Anna?
Yeah.
Does she not make money?
She would prefer if you weren't here because she's afraid about the arguing.
And I think it is very difficult for one parent, no matter how bad the situation is, to think about removing that kind of dual parenting. Even though, of course, we know it isn't healthy for that child, but it can be very difficult to make the decision to leave.
Why are you so nice to police officers? But as soon as they leave, you do the same fucking thing.
Let's get this clear.
Louie.
Ali was holding Anna hostage. She could not get out of this marriage. So what is somebody supposed to do?
Rachel.
On August 17th, Julia and I planned a Disney trip for Anna's birthday.
Mila!
I wanted all of our kids to be together, and I needed to go there to check on her. I followed my heart, and
I'm glad I did.
Ali waves and pushes a stroller. Julia.
The whole time, Ali was complaining mostly. He didn't want to walk around. He was tired.
And of course, he was bringing his drugs, and I was not having it. And neither was Anna. We all were practically ignoring him. And he eventually gave in at 11 a.m. and went to the Jeep and slept.
Anna and her friends pose.
And we all had an amazing time. And we stayed there till the fireworks. It was kind of our dream to take our kids to Disney.
Look, it's Mickey!
Cheers! They celebrate at home.
Happy birthday!
We went out for Anna's birthday. Ali eventually got himself together, and we all chipped in for a table at a club in San Diego. She was really upset because Ali was fighting with her and making her feel worthless and like it wasn't her birthday. What I realized then was that if he wasn't the center of attention, he wasn't gonna have it.
At the club, Ali sidles close to Anna on the dance floor.
Before she took me to the airport, we went to our favorite spot in San Diego, La Jolla. We took the girls to see the seals, let them run around and eat ice cream.
They look at the seals on the beach from afar.
Wow, look at the seals.
We had gotten into an argument because I've been telling her, you know, you need to leave him. She made it seem like there was nothing going on, that they were just going through some phase. But I knew that wasn't it. I remember telling her at the airport, Anna, you can't keep doing this. And she's like, I know, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. And I said, okay. And she said, okay, love you. And I said, I love you too. And that was the last time I ever heard from her.
A photo shows Anna on the sidewalk, staring off into the distance. In interview, Rachel stares at the floor.
Can I take a break?
At night, windows in their building glow. Andrea Marks, journalist.
Things start to get really ugly at home, and Ali starts to air them out publicly.
Don't get married, guys. Don't get fucking married.
Ali would use
Kayla,
his online platform, against Anna at times. He would go on live and broadcast really bad fights.
This fucking bitch.
He was saying, like, this is what a bitch looks like. This is what a whore looks like. And I saw Anna sitting on the couch, not showing her face. For him to do that was very dangerous in my point of view, and just overall wrong. It showed how little he cared about her well-being.
I dedicated my life. I threw my whole life away for her. And now she's throwing away my life.
Kelsey Christensen.
Before they have seemingly this perfect life that they've shaped online, and now it's a completely different story. And he's blaming Anna for this.
I worked so hard to build my platform, and it turns out the one closest to you is the one that tries to destroy it.
Julia.
That was definitely hard for me to witness. He was doing it to embarrass her.
I don't even know why I'm telling you guys, but I just care about you guys, man. I care about you guys. I care about my brand here.
He wants his fans or his followers to get a look into his life, or that he cares about them. But, you know, really, he was just embarrassing both of them.
You are embarrassing your whole family.
Don't even fucking talk to me, bitch. Fucking taking away my whole life.
It was very heartbreaking and very hard to watch and very shocking. The internet can be such an evil place.
She didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how I could help her. And that's when everything really, really, really started going downhill.
Waves crash on the beach at night.
You're fucking cheating on me. I know you're cheating on me. That's how much of a bitch you are.
Ali knew that a guy named Ray in their friend circle liked Anna, was interested in Anna.
When we moved here, I used to cry to you. I didn't want you to be close to Ray. And what do? You party with him.
Anna and Ali met Ray together. I remember Ali coming back to me and saying, yeah, Ray just told me I'm so lucky that I have a beautiful woman like Anna. That really bothers me. Why does he say that? That just means he wants her.
Rachel.
Ali has had jealousy issues with Ray from the start because Ray came off like he admired Anna.
She texts, "The last thing on my mind is a fucking guy."
And so Ali started creating this drama about how he doesn't trust Ray.
You wanna fuck with me? Okay. God, okay.
In actual real life, he would say certain things like, "Wouldn't it be fun if I just like picked up this gun and like shot a bunch of people?" People were like, "Why would you say that? That's actually not funny. Are you your character right now, or who are you right now?" It was so high strung and so violent to where nobody thought it was funny outside of TikTok.
"You need people like me.
You need people like me.
So you can point your fucking fingers. I say, "That's the bad guy.
That's the bad guy.
So say goodnight to the bad guy."
Traffic flows through the city as the sun rises. Louis.
One morning, Anna calls me a million times, texts me a million times.
He texts her, "What's going on?"
I'm reading all these texts. "Louis, you gotta come get me. You gotta come get me. I need you. It's crazy."
She calls me and she says, "Hey, can I come over?" So she comes to my house and she has a big suitcase with her. It was Ali's cousin dropping them off. We went to the park and I looked at her face and I noticed the whole left side of her face was bruised.
Red marks cover her cheek and the side of her eye.
That's finally when she's starting to tell us that this has been an ongoing thing since Virginia.
In Virginia, they sit smiling on their porch. Dr. Johnston.
Domestic violence does not happen overnight. There's a reason why abusers isolate their victims. It's because they can control the narrative of what's going on and what happens and all those things. When you're now in a place where your victim is exposed to other people and has support, you begin losing sometimes the power that you've had in that relationship to influence that person.
Everything started coming out and she's starting to realize, you know, this is a very toxic, abusive relationship and that she needs to get out.
He writes, "Why do you always have to threaten me with jail?"
Anna has this picture of her with kind of a bruised eye. And she's threatening Ali, saying, you know, "Should I call the police? Should I show your family? Should I put it online?" And that strikes a chord with Ali because his online persona is his baby.
It's so complicated for Anna in these situations to think, how do I get him to stop? How do I get him to leave me alone? And yet I do feel protective of him in terms of I don't want to get him in trouble. I don't want to ruin his career. And we all look and kind of go now, yes, you should post this on Facebook. Yes, you should call the police. But at that point, I think there is that struggle.
When you're in that relationship, it's hard to just leave, especially a marriage. You can feel trapped. How am I going to do this on my own? You feel like no one understands.
And that's exactly what I think Anna was going through. She was in a place where she was stuck and didn't know how to get out.
Their apartment stands under a gray sky.
And then Ali started cheating on Anna. One of the girls that he fooled around with was a girl living at the Spire. He met her in the elevator, and this girl somehow found Anna and reached out to her. She had to tell her that they slept together.
Anna was just like, "I'm so thankful that you told me this. You know, I'm not even mad. I just want to know this information."
This girl told Anna that he invited her into their home. And he grabbed a big bag of cocaine and laid it on their coffee table and just started doing a bunch of blow and talking about Anna, calling her all these horrible things. And of course, this girl is clearly freaking out because she's like, okay, this guy is crazy. But she was smart and knew that she needed to warn Anna.
Anna wanted to separate at that point. That was her final straw.
Text, October 6, 2021.
The irony.
Ali films Anna.
He's scared that he's going to get cheated on, but he's not cheating.
You abandon your husband. You don't respect him. You put your friends over him.
Of course you're gonna lose him.
Get out of my house, please. Get out of my house, please. After you fucking punched me in the face, I still come back to you, and this is how you repay me?
You said you don't love me anymore.
Please leave.
You said you don't love me anymore.
I said leave.
No.
I said leave.
No.
All right, then me and your daughter will leave. I'm trying, man.
No, you're not. You're disrespecting me. You ain't trying shit.
She hauls a suitcase.
At that point, she just wanted people to know the truth.
So then Anna posted a video on TikTok.
It reads, 7 years of toxic and abusive marriage and finding out he cheated on me in our home. She lip syncs.
That was definitely hitting him where it hurt. Like, he cared so much about his online presence, his reputation, his followers.
She posts this knowing full well what this is going to do to Ali, because he loves his online persona and his following, and he's kind of just spiraling downwards.
Actual audio.
I didn't cheat on you. You fucking betrayed me. And I fucked a girl in Miami, too. And I fucked a girl in L.A. I've been fucking bitches all day. Because you deprive me of sex, you paint me a bad guy, you fucking disrespect me, I'm fucking everybody. I am fucking the best man you ever met, and you're the dumbest bitch I ever fucking devoted my life to.
Red marks cover her face in a photo.
I think at that point, she was so fed up. He did all of this to her, and on top of that, cheated on her. She didn't care about their image as a happy couple anymore.
It shows that she's strong, and I can see in my friend that she's on a healing process. She's over it.
On a table, a phone rings. The call is from Ali.
As soon as Anna posted that video, Ali was furious. He was desperately blowing up her phone, threatening her to take the TikTok down.
Actual audio.
You block me, you delete my pictures, you fucking post a video on TikTok saying 7 years of abusive... Shut the fuck up, you bitch!
So she did, but a lot of people saw it before that. She packed her bags and she moved into my friend's house. She was trying to move on from her relationship with Ali.
Julia looks at a document.
These are some of the texts back and forth, and maybe you can read them.
So Anna says, to be honest, this is the happiest I have ever been. No anxiety, not a worry about if I'm doing something wrong or if you'll get mad. I'm a fucking person again. And he goes, I wasn't ready to go through all this. And she says, I can never hate you, but I can't love you the way you want me to. I wish you the best in life and whatever. I want you to be great. He didn't even deserve that. Everything that he did to her, and for her to still love him how she did, he didn't deserve that at all.
As Ali starts realizing that he has permanently lost Anna and realizing that he is not going to get her back, he begins to change.
Audio.
I gave you this life, all right? And the second you started telling me that I don't do anything for you, that you don't need me, I'm gonna show you how much you needed me. I'm gonna show you. Life is gonna show you. Life is gonna show you how much you needed me.
Julia, Anna's friend.
So at this point, Anna is living with my friend, and Ali continues to live at their apartment. She was trying to figure out how she was gonna start her life in San Diego without Ali. I did fear for Anna's life. I brought up that Ali has a gun, you know, do you know how far he would take this? And she would always reassure me. She said, babe, he would never do that.
She and Anna smile in a photo. Rachel.
But Anna didn't think the worst like we did.
Dr. Johnston.
There's sometimes this lack of realization that maybe the person would never have hurt you before. You haven't left them before. And so we can't count on past behavior being the same as it is now.
Ali, out of nowhere, reaches out to her and says, I'm going to go stay at a hotel. And why don't you just move back into the apartment? And Anna was like, oh, this is so exciting. This would solve all of my problems. I can move back into the apartment. I don't have to worry about looking for another place to live.
And I think that him offering her the apartment was all just a plan to get her in a room so he can do what he did.
Text, October 21, 2021. Cameron Jackson.
On October 21st, the day starts out with Anna heading out to take their daughter to school. Allie has, unbeknownst to her, made a copy of the electronic key to get into her apartment.
Alita Wan, attorney.
Ali uses the secret key and he enters the apartment.
Reenactment. He smashes something.
And he vandalizes it. And then he puts an app on his daughter's iPad so that he can listen in on conversations in the apartment.
Kelsey.
He is so fixated on what Anna's doing and wanting to catch her cheating on him or some damning piece of evidence.
Around 11 o'clock, Anna returns to the apartment.
She just calls me and she said, "Babe, I came home and the apartment is a mess. There's stuff all over the floor. Everything's broken." I was like, "Oh my goodness, you need to get out of there." And she said, "I'll call the front desk. I'll ask them to change the locks. I'm going to go today to get a restraining order against him. Don't worry. I got this." She's like, "I just need a favor. Can you pick Amira up from school for me so that I can clean this apartment? I don't want her to come home to this mess and ask me what happened."
Anna felt very scared after he vandalized the apartment and asked Ray to come over and help clean up.
Anna and Rayburn were friends. Anna said that they were just hanging out.
A few hours later, Rayburn arrives to the apartment and they're talking. Allie is back at his hotel room listening in, and he can hear Anna's there with a male voice. Allie gets in his car and he drives over to the apartment in downtown San Diego.
A car rides down the street at sunset.
Ali parks the car and then he enters on foot into the parking garage around 2:50.
He then starts recording with his phone.
Ali's iPhone audio.
Ali enters the elevator and he encounters another person and he engages in some small talk.
"Hey, man. Going up?"
"Yeah."
"How are you?"
"Good."
At 2:58, Ali arrives on the 35th floor.
Ali gets off the elevator. He walks down the hallway. And using the electronic key card that he made, you can hear him opening up the door. He racks around into the gun. You can hear Rayburn call out.
And then we hear the gunshots.
And you can hear Anna's voice as well as she's calling out. He racks a couple more rounds in after the first four shots and then shoots two more times.
At this point, Ali exits the apartment. He goes back and forth a few times. Then he opens the door of the apartment again and screams out Anna's name.
"Anna! Anna!"
In interview, Julia exhales.
"Just to back up into the story, like, Anna had asked you to pick up Mira at school."
"Yes. I was going to pick her up before I headed into work. And right in front of me, I see Ali pull up and grab Amira and put her in the car. At this point, I'm not sure what to do. I was supposed to pick her up, so I'm trying to call Anna, and she doesn't pick up. And I'm texting her. I'm like, 'Hey, Ali's here trying to pick Amira up. What do I do? What do I do?' She didn't text me back. And so I follow him while I'm calling her, trying to get an answer of what I should do. Car gets in between us and he goes far and he turns right and I lose him.
There was a neighbor witness who actually heard the shots. She calls 911.
The witness describes the suspect as a Middle Eastern male that goes by the name of Ali.
Be advised that the suspect described drives a black Jeep Wrangler.
Ali's Jeep is spotted on the I-15 freeway where he is arrested. They search the car and they find a gun and they find about 100 rounds of 9mm ammunition. The daughter is fine and they take custody of the daughter and she's later given to family members.
Police cars surround the Jeep in actual footage.
At that point, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I was panicking. I called my friend Claire. I said, Claire, Anna hasn't picked up. That's really strange. Can you go to her apartment? And then she calls me 15 minutes later and she's like, I can't get to her apartment. I was like, what are you talking about? She says they have it blocked off. There's a lot of cops here. And my heart just sank. And I just knew already. I just knew, but I was in disbelief. I was in shock.
New information this afternoon about a double homicide inside an East Village high-rise.
Two people have been confirmed dead after a shooting that happened at Island and 15th.
Rachel,
the friend, called me. And she was crying. She said that, I think he finally did it.
Cops made entry. They find that Rayburn is on the couch, deceased. He has a gunshot wound to his face and his head is back. Anna is sitting next to him. She has a gunshot wound to her head and her body is slumped over, kind of in his lap.
Outside of Ali's and Anna's building, each of the apartments glow at night.
It was already 2 a.m, and we're all sitting in the lobby and we're just waiting.
Julia.
Police come, and he says, I'm so sorry, but that was Anna Marie and Rayburn that was shot upstairs. And I've just never felt anything like that. My heart just dropped. I've just never felt so much pain before. I called Anna's mom, was the first person I called. And I told her, and she's like, what are you talking about, Julia? What are you talking about? And I couldn't tell her, and we just both started crying on the phone.
She wipes away her tears. Kayla.
It was so shocking. It was unreal. I didn't believe it at first until the news came out. And then I saw the condo taped off and the police outside. And it was real.
Alita Wan, attorney.
Ali confesses to police 5 hours after the murders. Ali is charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, a gun use allegation, and a special circumstance allegation of committing multiple murders, which means that he could face the death penalty.
Text, January 2022.
I attended the preliminary hearing. It was explosive. I did work at the district attorney's office, and I've done criminal post-conviction law, and I've never been to a hearing like that. One of the detectives testified that when he reviewed the Instagram account of Anna, he started describing what he thought was a relationship between Anna and Rayburn that now had turned more romantic.
Anna inviting Ray over to the hotel that she was staying at.
Okay, Mr. Boulevard. I'm sorry, this is news to me.
It's very unusual to have the defendant say anything in a court proceeding. And then he just completely started losing it from that point.
You think I wanted this? Or I fucked your daughter? I wanted this? Who the are you?
Mr. Bolivar? Mr. Bolivar, I need you to stop.
My life is destroyed.
Various TikTok videos play.
What would you do if you found out that your favorite TikTok star was actually a cold-blooded killer?
Whoa. I know you've seen these videos.
The terrifying story of Ali Aboleben.
Kelsey Christensen.
What's big news? A beautiful couple is now torn apart because of a double homicide.
This TikTok influencer was just arrested for
Ali
murder.
Ali pled not guilty to first-degree murder charges.
This is why you shouldn't believe everything you see on social media.
People were hearing about this almost across the world.
Este TikToker asesinó a su esposa.
And then when I saw the outburst in court, that's when I wrote him. I'm a reporter covering this story, and I'd love to hear your side.
Now to a story you'll see first on Fox 5, a jailhouse interview with a rising TikTok star accused of double murder.
Yeah, I was listening on the house with the iPad to my phone.
So when you heard Rayburn's voice, you went to...
I didn't recognize him. I didn't know who it was.
But what were you thinking?
Kayla.
The crying, the screaming, the slamming. When I saw that, I just saw pure evil.
What happens when you get to the apartment?
Nothing. I didn't see it. I don't know. It was a blur. It's just see her kissing Ray on my couch with his feet on my table.
And he says, Ray is on my couch, my house, my.
Your family says that your social media fame changed you. They say that you were doing cocaine, didn't really care about the consequences. Do you think that made you snap? Do you think it changed you?
Yeah, it messed up my brain. It made me violent, it made me like aggressive, you know? I'm broken, I'm devastated, I lost my wife. I miss all of everything, it's my craft, it's my baby. I love what I do, I wanted to be an actor.
Dr. Johnston.
When he's talking about losing his baby, he's talking about losing his business, his followers.
You can see what makes him the most emotional is that he feels he lost his chance at fame. And you can tell that outweighs, in his point of view, losing his family.
I'm the loser here.
That to me is the most disgusting, volatile part of everything that has to do with him. He only wanted to bring up he was this close to getting famous, which is a stretch from reality. I don't think his content was very funny at all.
Did you kill her?
Don't ask me that. Don't ask me that.
Ali cries.
Could anyone else have Anna?
Not while she's married to me. In a dark room, Rain uses a computer.
From jail, Ali actually posted a video on YouTube. Someone posted it on his behalf.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ali, aka Gen Kid. I haven't called myself that for a while, but I just wanted to check in, say that I'm doing okay for the most part. I'm trying my best to stay positive.
He seems to be more focused on the fame still. He's like, oh, I'll be back soon, guys. I'm going to get you guys the content you guys want. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that I'm stuck behind bars.
I just wanted to say I'm sorry that I can't make the videos that you love. I'm sorry that, you know, my life has come down to this.
But not sorry to his wife or the man that he killed.
I love that you still support me and you still watch my videos, and I love you guys. Thank you for all the great times.
Andrea Marks, journalist.
Social media can be really dangerous in the hands of the wrong person. I don't know to what extent Ali's obsession with his social media presence led to what he did, but he clearly had a very unhealthy relationship with social media that muddied his understanding of reality, that seemed to shape his impression of what he believed was an acceptable way to behave. And I think that's something worth paying attention to.
In the city, Ali's cousin, Louis, drives at night.
Ali's decisions have had dire consequences for not only himself, but for my entire family. It's going to affect us for the rest of our lives. Ali's actions have taken away a mother and a father from their daughter. And now the daughter, you know, is going to grow up with somebody else other than her actual parents, but at least she gets to be with her family.
Text, February 2022, 4 months after the murders. Rachel, Anna's friend.
Authorities finally allowed family and friends to come into the apartment and grab whatever Anna had left. The apartment was still exactly the same, except the bodies not being there.
Items lay scattered, bloodstains on the sofa cushions.
When we walked into the crime scene, it was just...
Julia.
It was very hard. You see the breakfast from that morning still on the coffee table. They took a part of the couch out where it happened, but you see the bullet holes. You see the mess that Ollie created that morning that she was FaceTiming me about. It was very hard, but, you know, we were there to help Anna's family retrieve her things, and so that's what we did.
All I could think about was I would have tried harder to get her out and keep her safe. Because you need a tribe to get out of a narcissistic relationship. It's hard for me to accept her death because I want to say she's in a better place, but a better place should be with her daughter.
In a photo, Anna kneels and smiles with her daughter.
This case is so much about Anna and Ali. Sometimes we forget there's another victim here who lost his life. That's Ray. And maybe he was at the wrong place in the wrong time. He was a good friend.
Ray chose to be there for Anna because he saw her light that was surrounded by a lot of darkness.
May 1st, 2024. Ali Abulaban's trial begins. Various reporters.
The trial of a popular TikTok star started today.
Both sides actually agree that Ali Abulaban killed his estranged wife and her friend. But as for why it happened, there are two very different stories.
Everyone rise, please.
At the Superior Court of California, Karen Brast, a prosecutor.
At the end of this trial, I will ask that you find the defendant guilty of two counts of first-degree murder, one for Anna, one for Ray.
Text, in the state of California, two counts of premeditated first-degree murder is punishable by life in prison without the possibility of parole.
It's not up for debate if Ali killed Anna and Ray. The question is, was this premeditated?
He willfully spied on Anna. He caught her that day.
When we're talking about proving premeditation, that's a pretty tall order. Even if you have one jury member who doesn't agree with that, you can have a hung jury, and that's a mistrial.
Ali looks up and watches recorded footage.
There's a lot of evidence in this trial. The audio from Ali's phone.
What was it then?
There's no name, Ali.
It's an empty building.
There is no money.
There hasn't been.
A clip of Ali entering an elevator.
They also have video of Ali riding at the elevator, 35 floors. A Nest camera that's attached to one of the neighbor's doors.
Shots are heard in the clip.
And you see Ali walk out of the room into the hallway, and he calls his mother. And he confesses to killing Anna.
I just shot and killed Anna. I killed Anna. It's not, I shot her in the head. I killed them. Jody Green, defense attorney.
Anna knew Ali well. She knew his underlying vulnerabilities.
Public defender Jody Green argues that this is voluntary manslaughter because she says this was a crime of passion and that Ali was provoked.
If Ali is convicted of the lesser charge of voluntary manslaughter, a killing in the heat of the moment without forethought, he could spend as few as 6 years behind bars.
She knew his insecurities about his mental illness, his drug addiction, and his own chaotic upbringing. She used these and she weaponized them against him.
Kelsey.
She's saying that Anna pushed Ali to the brink and that's why he broke. That Anna was a cause of why he killed her. That Anna disrespected him We also see a picture of Anna and Ray kind of cuddled up together on what looks to be a bed. She's saying Anna cheated on him, causing him to lose his mind, go to the brink, and shoot Anna and Ray.
In court, Ollie puts his head down. Ollie stands up in court.
At this time, the defense would call Mr. Ollie Abulaban.
And then on May 21st, the defense calls Ollie.
I'm here.
On the stand, Ollie is basically saying, hey, I'm not a liar here. He's admitting to killing Anna and Ray and to being abusive, and it's making him seem believable.
Ollie.
I was trying to believe her. I was trying to believe that she wasn't cheating on me, that she would let me fix this because I was sick. I was struggling from drugs and mental illness. And when I saw that it was him...
He cries.
I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the fucking betrayal.
Thank you. Nothing further at this time.
Taryn Brast begins her cross-examination. And you know from the beginning, she's trying to break him down.
Taryn.
You were mad at Anna because she told you over and over again that she did not want to be married to you, correct? You were mad at Anna. October 17th, you were violent and angry with her, correct?
Ollie.
I became violent at the last second, yes.
She's bringing up searches on his phone, such as a trash can, exploitation of minors, sex workers, and chopped bodies.
You're out your
various mind. Website images are shown.
You're not going to paint me as something I'm not.
After a four-week excruciating trial, the jury retires to deliberate, and everyone is just on pins and needles to see what's going to happen.
May 29th, 2024. After deliberating for 2 days, the jury delivers a verdict. A juror speaks.
Be the jury in the above entitled cause, find the defendant, Ali Nasser Abulaban, guilty of the crime of murder in the first degree. Yes.
The jury finds Ali guilty of 2 counts of first degree murder.
Ali has an intense expression on his face. Julia, Anna's friend.
I mean, we didn't have any doubt that we were going to get anything other than guilty, but it's just the relief. We've been waiting almost 3 years for this.
She didn't think he would do it.
Rachel, Anna's friend.
Because every domestic violence victim is not there for themselves. And that's what we need to change in this world. We need to look at this situation and this is the end result. This is the end result.
Dr. Johnston.
I think for anyone who's in a situation where they're experiencing abuse, the number one thing I think is to reach out to somebody. I think the enemy of making healthy decisions is isolation and keeping things to yourself. And so the first step, there are just so many resources available. There are hotlines, there are community resources, making sure that you end that isolation in some way.
On a beach, Rachel walks alone under overcast skies.
I sit here today sharing Anna's story because I want people to not be silent, to not care about what you look like on social media or care what people are going to think of you because you're in a bad situation. Your truth is who you are, and you need to embrace it and own it. And we need to be the change that we want for the world.
Julia meets Rachel near the water.
I wish we could have seen all our daughters grow up together and have this mom life, take them to the beach. And I miss her so much. I really, really miss her so much. And I really, really wish she was still here with us.
But we're here now.
They walk away holding hands.
You know, we're going to continue to make her proud.
Silence is what got Anna here. Her story needs to be heard to save other women and to prevent children growing up without their parents.
In a video, their daughter opens up a gift. Text, Ali and Anna's daughter is in custody of Ali's family. Ali Abulaban is facing life without parole for the murders. If you or someone you know is experiencing or has experienced domestic violence, there is help available. Ending Violence Association of Canada provides a list of support services across Canada. Visit endingviolencecanada.org to learn about the resources. Credits: producer Emma Nitz, editors Diana DeCilio, Dale Fisher, and Lori Fricks. Audio mixers John Coaster and Jeremiah Sheets. Post audio Dylan Turflinger. Composer Malcolm Francis. Logos: Lucid, G Unit Film and Television, Peacock. Copyright 2024 Peacock Media Productions, LLC.